Listen, the first layer of clothing, in my opinion, is the most important. It's the closest to your body. Mm. It's like the reason breakfast is the most important meal.
Because breakfast is closest to your body?
No, because it's first on. It's first on. And in the same way, underwear is like the breakfast of clothes.
Okay, so this is a very important decision.
Yes.
And that's why you should choose Mack Weldon, because they believe in smart design, premium fabrics, and simple shopping. And they make incredibly comfortable underwear, socks, shirts, undershirts, hoodies, and sweatpants. Get comfortable, y'all.
Try it.
And they want you to be so comfortable. If you don't like your first pair, you can keep it. And they will still refund you. No questions asked.
Even the return policy is comfortable. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off using our promo code BISCUITS. That's MackWeldon.com. Get 20% off using promo code BISCUITS.
Welcome to Ear Biscuits. I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link. Joining us at the round table of dim lighting tonight, we have Jason Mark. Dude has got a great story and a great business. He is the originator of the sneaker drop-off cleaning service.
Yes.
Where you drop off your sneakers and they're cleaned.
Sneaker care. Sneaker care is
it's
the
not just
official
cleaning,
description.
Sneaker care, yeah.
This guy cares about sneakers and he cares for sneakers. And we wanted to talk to
him. In a world where a lot of people care a whole lot about sneakers.
And we wanted
and that's
to talk
fascinating.
To him, not because, now first of all, we're a whole lot more sneakerhead than we were, say, 5 years ago.
I'm informed a little bit.
But definitely not actually sneakerheads. But,
right.
We are fascinated by people who have made a decision to do something where they followed a dream, had an innovative idea, and like it came to fruition, and the story of that, like that's a mythical thing, just like we've been talking about. We want to talk to mythical people about mythical things that they're doing to kind of embody mythicality, and Jason Mark embodies mythicality because he's doing something that is completely original and creative, something that is kind of challenges a paradigm, and he's just a good guy, local guy here.
So I would say,
Los Angeles.
Even if you're not into sneakers, I think you're really going to be into this conversation because it's got this inspirational quality to it that you can benefit from. Mythical Beast.
Nobody cried though. I mean, spoiler. I mean, you got close.
There was a discussion about crying.
Yeah.
And there was a story that brought some people to tears.
Some people, and some
I'm
people
just
might.
Saying.
You know,
I'm just saying.
And he also—
There was some blood involved at another point.
Serendipitously—
Wow.
He wore his mustache tonight, as did you.
Yes.
Did you shave this in because you knew Jason was coming and had a mustache?
No, I thank you for acknowledging my mustache.
Oh, is there another reason for it?
The reason is, you know the reason.
Yeah, I'm doing what they call playing dumb, Link.
The first thing I noticed was not his shoes, it was the fact, oh, he's got a mustache too. We're mustache brethren.
And did you, now one of the things we talked about is how you acknowledge when somebody has the same car, the same shoes or whatever, but did you do a mustache acknowledgement?
I did not nod at the mustache, but I assessed it.
So you looked at his lip. A lot of times—
No, I looked at the mustache above the lip.
I know,
the whole conversation.
You can't tell when somebody's looking at your mustache or your lip. Okay, what am I—
Well, I can tell.
Okay, what am I looking at right now?
The microphone.
And
you're
looking
at my mustache, it's irresistible.
No, I'm looking at your lips. Oh. I mean, I'm not comfortable doing it.
Now look at my mustache.
Because that's the kind of
look
thing—
Look at my mustache. Now look at the lips. Okay, I could see the—
You see the difference.
See the difference.
You can see the comparative difference.
Yeah,
but that's something like, I remember in like middle school, like Tate told me that if you want, it could have been Michael Juby, I don't know. One of those guys that had kissed some ladies, mm-hmm. He was like, you let a girl know you want to kiss her when you look at her lips. So like you're looking at her and then you look down at the lips and you look back and you look down at the lips and then she's like, oh, I know what's up. Or you could just start, you could just go in for the kiss.
Well, you know, or you could, I mean.
I'm not talking about just like any.
You don't want to just go in for the kiss, you want to ask permission.
I'm not talking.
At least with a look at the lips.
I'm not talking about like you just sit next to anybody. I'm talking about like.
A loved one.
There's a relationship already happening. So I'm just letting you know, that's not what's happening right now. I'm just evaluating your mustache.
I actually wasn't, the thought didn't cross my mind, right?
Yeah.
So you clarifying it just made it weird, made it awkward. Of course, my mustache is not making anything awkward, is it? this is day two of me having the mustache.
Cutting the mustache in.
Of cutting it in. You know, I knew I wanted to grow a mustache as an option for Buddy System Season 2. And
it's still, I mean, it's probably gonna be there.
Probably gonna be there.
But we still reserve the right to not have it. You reserve the right.
You say we. I mean, you do have a say.
Yeah, but I think I think you get 51% in
right,
this decision.
Right, I get
which is basically the whole decision. There's only two
of us. Well, no, I'm interested in what you have to say, but I miss the days when my facial hair would change constantly. And I like having the option to do that for Buddy System because it could enhance the story. It could fit into what we're doing.
I dropped something.
You dropped something? You all right?
Oh gosh.
What?
Are you serious? Did he go in that hole?
Oh gosh.
Did he go in the, no way it went in the hole.
Dude, it's behind you, man. Why is your...
I'll tell you what that is later.
Oh, he's gonna keep you in suspense.
I thought it went in one of those holes too. I was like, I don't even think it fits in
there. There's a hole down there.
Yeah, it does fit.
What is it that he was talking about? What was I saying?
That's a teaser. You talked about how you-
Oh, the reason, I had an opportunity to have a mustache for Buddy System season two.
And it may enhance your performance.
And we're just a few days away from starting to shoot. I'm very excited. I'm kind of nervous, but the mustache, I mean, I had the beard. You know, I didn't want to just grow in a mustache, so you don't do that. No one in their right mind just grows a mustache. You grow a beard, and then whenever you have a mustache within that beard, then you take the beard away.
Yeah. I mean, I think it is possible to do it the other way, but I do think that you're doing it the easy way.
Well, then you gotta explain like why you're slowly growing a mustache.
There's a lot of more, more awkward phases.
Yeah, and all the conversations. Like when you're growing a beard, it's like, oh, you're growing a beard. When you're growing a mustache, it's like, you're growing a mustache or you need to bathe up there. So-
But now you have
I
to
grew
deal
a beard,
with-
and then I have to deal with the shock of the moment that I leave the bathroom and there's my family and they all turn and look at me in horror because I have a mustache. They all hate it.
Did they know this was happening?
I told them it was happening, but until you see it, it's not something it turns out you're not prepared for. According to their response, you know, and then I come into work yesterday morning.
Oh,
and
so like, your wife hates it?
Oh, she hates it. Her dad had a mustache for a long time.
Really?
And he still occasionally has one. And I don't think she wants to be married to her dad. That's weird.
That says something about their relationship. I'm not gonna play psychology.
I just mean specifically, she doesn't want to marry her dad.
Well, that's
a pretty simple thing.
That's a healthy thing.
It's simple.
As a non-psychologist, I can confirm that.
Yeah, you don't have to be a psychologist to know that's a good idea. Don't marry your dad, dude.
But I think the interesting thing is that there are cultural connotations associated with certain facial hair configurations, right? That is a fact. And it's based on these principles that only exist in the context of culture. In other words, if an alien were to come down in his or her ship and meet you, mm-hmm. and you were the only human, they would just make an observation. Has hair over lower hole. You know what I'm saying? That's what they-
That ain't the lower hole, brother.
Lower hole of the face.
That's the higher hole.
I got, no. face orifice. Well, they wouldn't be speaking English, but you get, and I don't know why they talk like a robot.
Robot? I don't know either.
Because they are-
Has hair over lower orifice facial of orifice. Facial orifice.
In other words, there would be no like, must be fireman. They don't know that. You know, they don't know that yet.
Must be volunteer fireman.
Must get, you know, I'm not, there's other things that,
Must be stuck in 80s.
Well, there's lots of things that people, there's certain, you know, things that people think that you might be into if you have a mustache, stuff that we won't even go into.
But my mustache isn't that thin.
It doesn't even matter though. I'm saying
it's taller than that.
You have to now deal with the perception that people have of people with mustaches.
My main concern is that it's like, you look old. You look so much older. You look like a dad. Well, first of all, I am a dad.
Who gave you that piece of advice?
My family. Hmm. Christy said, you look old. And I'm like, well, you know.
I am old.
Rhett has a beard. Lots of people have beards now and they no longer have a connotation of old or mountain men, but that was probably how it was before. The reason
but
why-
But think about when I cut my beard off for last season.
You did look a lot younger.
I looked like 24.
Right,
well, but like you, a baby.
But you with that beard doesn't look as old as me with this mustache. But the reason why is not because it aged you, it's because culturally it's people associate it with their dads. Or some, I mean, I think we're getting out of that now. Like, I don't think millennials' dads have mustaches, or less of them did than like our dads had mustaches.
Well, now the thing is that
my dad had a mustache.
Most people.
Which subconsciously is why I want a mustache.
Most people who have mustaches now have ironic mustaches. So we haven't gotten past irony when it comes to the modern mustache.
But a guy like Jason, who we're about to have the conversation
that's
with.
That's an ironic mustache.
He has an ironic mustache, but he's such a sincere guy that I don't think.
He's just cool.
Yeah, it's just cool.
But I'm saying.
So why can't I have that? Why can't this be, can this be ironic?
Well, that's actually.
In real life?
Of course it can. I'm saying it definitely is. And that's kind of what I wanted to say, is that if I were to meet you.
Meaning I don't have to fight fires. I'm just concerned that I have to fight
fires.
No,
I'm saying
fires.
That this is, and this is why I want to have an extended, like once we complete your look, okay? And whatever that's going to be. I think we have to have the conversation of what is the interpretation of the mustache, because
yes,
I think that we would both agree that we don't want it to be interpreted as an ironic mustache.
I don't totally agree with that.
But maybe, is it okay
yeah,
if
Yeah,
there's
a percentage.
Is it okay if it's just this ambiguous thing?
Yeah.
Because, you know, okay, if I meet you in LA and I'm like, okay, well, his clothes fit. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you don't have on like a NASCAR shirt that's three sizes too big. Not to pick on the NASCAR people. I'm just saying that if you've got a NASCAR shirt that's three sizes too big and you got a mustache, it's not an ironic mustache. Right. I don't care how hard you wish. It is, it's not.
Right, you also have a volunteer fire department beeper on your belt.
Yeah, right, yeah, exactly. If you work, if you're a volunteer fireman and you have a mustache, you have a purposeful fireman's mustache, and I respect that, but it's not ironic.
By the way, you know why? The smoke.
It absorbs the smoke.
It filters the smoke. You still breathe the smoke, but you don't breathe the bad parts.
You know
the
real
smoke.
Reason why firemen and policemen have mustaches?
Yeah, I just told you.
No, the real reason.
Yeah, I know that one, but I'm not gonna tell you.
The real reason is because it is the only facial hair that is allowed in many fire departments and police departments.
Beards, regulations.
Beards are not allowed in the military or in most police police forces, and probably fire departments.
And a man wants to have
and
facial hair.
If I'm gonna have facial hair, man, well, where can I have it? Okay, that's where I'm gonna have it. And so it became associated. It was actually the result of a regulation that they had no say in, right? That then became a cultural association with people who do a certain vocation.
Hmm, that's sweet.
That's crazy.
And I'm glad to be folded into that legacy.
No, but there's nothing else about you that says fireman.
No, there's not.
Nothing, right?
Well, I mean, if the fire started right here, I could probably put it out.
Yeah, but no better than me.
Well, let's
set a fire and find out.
Yeah, let's not
Can
presume.
We do that?
Let's not presume that I couldn't do it better.
So you
than
have,
me. I do have a mustache.
You have an ironic mustache, and that may be okay. I don't think there's any way that it's not going to be perceived as ironic.
Right,
but. How would you feel about yourself if you met yourself? Because I can tell you how I feel about you if I didn't know you were growing it out for a role. I'd be like, oh, this guy thinks he's cool.
Oh, is that it?
This guy thinks he's so cool. Of course, and I would think the same thing about me if I saw a guy with my hair or whatever, and even your hair too, you know?
Even the beard.
Yeah, even the beard in the context of where we live.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, this guy's trying too hard. Guy thinks too much of himself. Thinks he's cool, cares too much about his face.
So you thought-
Spends too much time on himself in the morning,
I'm flattered that you think no one would have thought that about me before the mustache.
I think they would have thought that.
Okay.
But I think it's okay to think that. I'm not trying to make it seem like I don't care what I look like. I'm just trying to conceal it a little bit. But when you do something that's like, and what I'm planning to do potentially, which I won't reveal now,
it's kind of the
is
same
worse,
thing.
Is way worse and than an ironic mustache in terms of what people would conclude about me because of it. Way worse. I would say on a scale of 1 to 10, what I'm planning on doing is a 9 on the, that guy is somebody I don't wanna have a conversation with. So why are we doing it?
Because it
because
is cool.
Because we can.
I think because it is cool. Because I think it's cool. I don't care. You know, it's like, again, we get into why I have the tennis shoes I have in the thing. It's like I give the reason.
Noise. You just made a clicking noise when you spoke.
I thought that was cool too.
Like,
I think it's cool to make a clicking noise.
How did you do that?
But I think it's cool to myself to make a clicking noise.
Almost sound like an artifact from from the microphone.
It was all in my mouth. I don't know how I did it, but it was pretty cool, right?
Yeah, it was. Now I think differently about your mustache.
I think we're gonna be posting footage of us while—
Lots of footage.
Not from Buddy System, but from the set of Buddy System, and I think that will be the answer to your question.
Yeah.
The question that we put out there is that, is Link gonna have a mustache? It's like, well, you'll find out.
Yeah. And is Rhett gonna have something else?
Right now,
that's worse.
I'm thinking we're gonna post those behind the scenes video moments on the This Is Mythical channel, so be subscribed to that.
But if we don't, they'll be somewhere.
I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah. We're not gonna make any promises. It's not a promise, it's just an assumption that may change.
I like being a guy who has a mustache for a little bit of time because I know ultimately I will be a guy without a mustache.
Yeah.
I just like I like being different
than
myself and most of the population who has more taste.
Hmm.
Part of being cool is that you throw taste out the window. It's like, you know, in spite of taste.
Yeah, people who are cool don't even know it. The coolest people don't even know it.
Yeah, I think Jason's one of those guys.
I think he is.
I think he is. He was such a, like, we try so hard. We think about all this being cool crap.
Oh, we're trying so hard.
It's sad.
Yeah, it is a little bit.
We calculate so we can seem like we uncalculate.
Yeah, seem like you don't care.
The dude
care
just
so
did
much.
A great thing.
He did.
He just
and we
did
had a great
thing,
conversation
and
with
he
him.
Had a, and he has a great mustache to go
he
along
does.
With.
He does. You'll see it in a second and you'll hear it because you can, if you're just listening, you can hear the slight muffled sound of his voice coming through that. That it's flavor like saver.
It's softened just the right amount by his stash.
But first, we're going to take a short break to let you know that
this episode is brought to you by Tile, the tiny Bluetooth tracker that makes finding your things easier than ever.
There is no longer an excuse for losing the things that are important to you. Your keys, your wallet, your laptop, your bicycle, your children. I
and
don't know.
Over
you
the
can...
years, I came up with many excuses.
Yeah,
I don't need them anymore.
You can put this thing on anything. Even if you're not a person who loses things often, the few times that you do lose things, it's such an inconvenience and that can end with Tile.
Right, finding your things is easy. You just open the free Tile app on your phone to see your lost item on the map, then quickly find your item by making your Tile ring. It sounds magical and it'll be back in your hands in seconds.
Get yours today at gettile.com/ear and save up to 30% per Tile on a multi-pack plus free shipping. And because Tile makes the perfect gift, for a limited time, get a free gift box with a multi-pack order. Go to gettile.com/ear. That's gettile.com/ear. This episode is also brought to you by Parachute Sheets. You know we love Parachute. Listen, my wife recently took the Parachute sheets off of the bed to put the old sheets on because she had to wash the Parachute sheets.
Made them dirty.
And as soon as I got in bed, I was like, something is wrong.
I'm not on the Parachute anymore.
Very, very wrong. I had a visceral reaction. I said, I'm not sleeping until we go dry those sheets. Well, okay, I slept on the other sheets for a night, but we quickly got the Parachute sheets back on the bed. They are that comfortable.
And you know what? They were probably softer because their bedding only gets softer with time, and they give back globally. United Nations Foundation is a partner of theirs. They donate malaria prevention bed nets so you can feel good in soul as well as in body when you're sleeping on these things. So listen, Mythical Beast, go to parachutehome.com/ear for free shipping and returns. Check them out, grab them up, parachutehome.com/ear for free shipping and returns. Parachute offers a 60-night trial, so if you don't love it, just send it back, no questions asked.
And now, on to the biscuit. I couldn't help but notice your shoes when you walked in, because I feel like that's what people probably look at first.
Absolutely.
When you walk into a room.
Yeah.
If they know what you do.
But I didn't look like directly at him. It was like staring at the sun. It was like, can't look too long. I don't want to be. So what did you wear in here? What do we got?
I got the 97 Air Max in gold. Just retro.
Like. Oh, can you put it up here?
Yeah.
How flexible are you? Oh, just take the shoe off.
This is like second time wearing them, so.
Really? And it, look at all that
hey,
air.
Hey, ask permission, man.
Oh, may
no,
I?
It's Jason Mark.
I'm sorry.
Please.
Can you touch the shoe?
May I touch the shoe? I've already touched it twice. I'm blowing it.
Please do.
Is there an etiquette? Like,
yeah.
May I?
Yeah, you're only supposed to put your finger in the back loop, right?
I'm not too, whatever.
You're not too precious?
No, but when touching other people's shoes, I'm conscious of like the oils in my fingers.
Oh.
And like when it's a, like this shoe doesn't really have any like super delicate material on
it. That's a subtle way of saying you've already violated the code, Link.
But if it was like a suede, I'm kind of just really particular about like, okay, oils might transfer onto the suede, so I'm just going to hold it from the midsole.
Mm. It's like when you go to a hat shop, like, you know, I will buy the occasional fedora from Gorin Brothers.
What is that? You talking about lids?
No. I'm talking about like Gorin Brothers, like the hat shop. You know, there's one in Pasadena. There's you know about Gorin.
Like a cowboy hat?
And so, no, like the fedoras are those that I wear. So I go in there, and for the longest time I went in there and I was grabbing the hat on top of the hat and picking up and moving around. And then like the fifth time I was in the store, I saw a sign that says, please do not handle hats from the crown.
Crown.
You're supposed to take the brim and hold everything from the brim. So, the equivalent of a brim of a hat is the sole of the shoe.
I don't know if that's etiquette though. That's just sort of my personal thing. But I, you know,
you have the power to create etiquette.
That's the beauty of it. I don't know about that. But
you did help create the way people think about the cleanliness of their sneakers.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think like having clean sneakers is just sort of goes hand in hand with being sort of into sneakers. I didn't create that. I think what I created was, in some ways, it wasn't to make shoe cleaning cool.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, I guess it just kind of became that as well. I mean, what I wanted to do was create a shoe cleaner that was made specifically for like the sneaker culture and sneaker market.
Yeah, and you're talking about a cleaning product.
Cleaning product, yeah.
So just bring me up to speed. So what is it you do? What's the breadth of what your company does at this point? You clean shoes, you got a product that cleans the shoes with you.
Right.
Like what are all the facets of the business here?
So it started 10 years ago, and it started with a shoe cleaner, and that's it. Like I had a shoe cleaner kit. It had like a 8-ounce bottle of cleaner, and it came with a brush, and I had
Because that did not exist.
No, well, shoe cleaner existed. It was just more of like mass market stuff, like stuff that you would just find in the mall. Hmm. And
like you bought your shoes at Foot Locker.
Yeah.
And then at the cashier's like, hey, why don't you, let me just give
never
you a
fails.
Little.
Exactly, yeah.
A little squirt bottle of this stuff.
Right. Yeah, so that stuff existed. I've tried it, and I'm sure, you know, a lot of people have, but for me, I just personally didn't trust that stuff because it was a, you know, aerosol can. It had this like spiky
cap
that acted as was supposed to be a brush. And it was these sharp, like, I don't know if you guys remember this, but it was like super sharp bristles. So like, I just never, I mean, I've used it before back in the day, but I usually resorted to just kind of making my own stuff at home.
You want your shoe back?
Yeah, that'd be good.
That's a clean shoe. That is a sweet shoe.
You know,
I just thought of you sitting there with one sock on. I was like, we can't have a, we can't keep talking to Jason Mark. You got one shoe on? Give the man his shoe back.
I kind of hope you forget about it. I could keep one of his shoes. You blew it, man.
He would have remembered when he started walking.
I was about to grab it and slowly start inching it to my side of the table.
I would have noticed. He would have noticed.
I would proudly wear one shoe if it was that shoe.
Yeah, okay.
So we should have discussed that ahead of time.
Okay, yeah, right. So the existing product was inadequate.
Well, I mean, yeah, I just...
Well, it was scary. It looked like a porcupine on top.
It was dangerous.
You spent hundreds of dollars on a shoe. This is like a prized possession. And they throw in this thing in your bag, look like a polyurethane porcupine.
That feels like an upsell. You know, it feels like an upsell
definitely,
anyway.
And then, you know, I remember the bristles used to break off and it was just wasn't the best product. But I think for me, at least, the biggest thing was like sort of a not trusting what's in there. Mm-hmm. So I just go home and make my own, like, dishwashing soap, warm water. Sometimes I'd mix, like, if it was like, for like to clean my laces, if they were white laces, I'd put them in like a little Ziploc bag with like warm water, some dishwashing soap and some bleach, and I'd shake it up and they get really bright white.
Uh-huh.
But the thing is, like, after you put your laces back in, the bleach would have weakened the lace, and it would just like,
it's like hair.
So there's certain things that, like, there's certain tricks, you know, that everybody has. And
so you were, so this is talking 10 years ago when you wanted this for yourself. You were, were you a self-ascribed sneakerhead at the time?
I was into sneakers for sure.
You had like a vast collection back then?
I had a good amount of shoes, you know. I'm not like I still don't consider myself like a collector per se. Like, I've just always been into shoes. Everything that I buy, I wear. I mean, it's not like I like flip them or buy multiple pairs. And I have this like, I have a sneaker room now, but like I just used to have like boxes.
Right.
You know, it wasn't anything like thousands of pairs.
Right. Well, and the funny thing is, you know, I think about like the way that we approached shoes growing up, you know, like we grew up together. And especially as a kid, I think I didn't understand the whole sneakerhead thing until I became an adult, because as kids, what we would do is you'd get a new pair of shoes and then you would just wear it indiscriminately everywhere.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It just got so dirty and you just knew how long you had the shoes by how dirty the shoes were.
But like when you played basketball, even in middle school, I remember, I wasn't on the team, I kept score for the girls.
Right.
And they didn't give me shoes for that.
You were close by.
You did not need any
scorekeeper shoes.
Specific type of shoes for that.
You could have had on slippers.
Yeah, I could have been barefoot, man. which is good for your feet, I'm told.
Yeah, well, no, don't say that.
Maybe, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's not true.
You clean your feet.
I clean them.
you gotta have shoes.
But I remember those first basketball shoes that you had. You didn't wear those out when you were off the court, did you?
I did.
Just like running through the fields and stuff?
Now, first of all, my son knew about you, bought your kit because he's the sneakerhead in my family. And he's also a basketball player. Now he's gone from diving to basketball. And so he's got his shoe collection and he has his court shoes. And I was telling him the other day, I was like, you realize that our coach would, first of all, everybody on the team got the same shoes. So now it's like every player gets their own shoes. And that's not something that's happened in the NBA, but now it happens in college. And it also happens in high school now. But we had the team shoe, like everybody, like the year the pumps came out, Reebok pumps, our whole team got the pumps.
That was big.
But I would wear those pumps, not only would I wear them to school, I would wear them when I played street ball in my front yard on my street on the really rough gravel. And then I would wonder why when I was in the game, I had no traction at all.
You'd be sliding around like air hockey.
And it's like, I don't know why no one told us how we should think about things. Like, why didn't my coach just say, you guys shouldn't wear these shoes anywhere but this court because you need the traction that they were designed to have. It's like, Locke, it just blew his mind that was something that we did. But we didn't understand shoes.
You know, honestly, like, I'd wear my shoes on the black court when I'd play in the gym. It was one of those things where it was just like, I wasn't broke, but I didn't have all the money in the world to buy, like, all the shoes that I wanted to buy. So I'd just wear them and try to keep them clean as possible.
Which actually made it more important to keep your shoes.
Right, yeah.
You know, they would get dirtier, and you wanted them to look, you weren't just going to go out and buy another pair. You're going to get them clean.
Right.
So were you always like meticulously cleaning and trying to figure that out?
Yeah, I mean, I think just my personality is I'm a little bit of a clean freak, mm-hmm. you know, just even outside of shoes.
You Me know? Too.
You do?
Yeah.
Well, a bit. I'm a bit OCD. See,
but you're not a shoe clean freak.
I'm not a, no, but in many things.
Because I think that most people think of it like, okay, if I got a shirt and it's got like a mustard stain on it, I'm like, I can't wear that. But then for some reason they believe that that rule stops at the ankle, right? And they're like, well, I got a weird grass stain on my shoe, but.
Well, it's a lot more pricey.
But explain, I wanna just help people understand the mentality behind seeing the cleanliness of shoes as being as important as the cleanliness of your shirt.
Absolutely. I mean, I think the reason why, like, just to go back, like when I created the logo, the original logo has a speech bubble in it. I don't know if you've seen it, but it has a speech bubble. Mm-hmm. And the whole thought behind that was like, your sneakers are an expression, a statement. Like you basically, you don't have to say anything. And it's sort of like, you look at the person's shoes and you're like, okay, like, what's up? You know, like, yeah, I know, you know, it's like game recognized game type of thing. Mm-hmm. So keeping your sneakers clean, like you couldn't just walk out the house with busted sneakers because it completes your whole outfit.
Right.
What you're wearing. So.
And was that something that.
You don't want to look like a hobo from the ankle right. down, man.
No. Like, tell me about, like, you grew up downtown, right?
No, I grew up in the South Bay, which is like Harbor City.
You're downtown now. Yeah.
I'm in downtown. Okay. Oh, well. Headquartered in downtown.
Yeah. So like your group of friends, was it something that like everybody understood this, don't go out of the house with busted shoes, or was this something that you kind of brought to?
It was sort of like amongst my peers,
yeah.
like that were in the shoes, you kept them clean as possible, as much as possible. And I think, you know, but the big thing with me was like growing up was playing basketball. Mm-hmm. Like I thought I was gonna be the first Asian like pro player, you know, which like seeing
were you
far from it. I thought I was so good, you know. I thought I was so good, and I really was not that good, you know. I was like in the eighth grade. I remember just like playing and just dribbling circles around like my teammates and just doing no look passes and everything. And I get to high school, and I remember trying out for the freshman basketball team, and I was just like, it was just like a huge awakening that I really was not that good. I tried out. I went to summer camp, and then I didn't make the team. And then I tried out again for the sophomore team. I didn't make the team, and it was like, okay, you really not that good.
Ooh, but you can look good.
Yeah, it was just. I mean, yeah, it was just fun. It was. You know, that was a big part of growing up with playing ball.
Yeah. Well, that's what got in both. Actually, both of our kids are more into shoes. Mm-hmm. than we are. That's what got them into shoes is that we started taking them to, like my kids were not into basketball at all, which mm-hmm. was my sport growing up. Because like I said, Locke was into diving. There's no shoes for diving. There's just a little Speedo. It's kind of embarrassing to wear. Mm. And
keep it clean though.
But taking him to the Clippers games. I know you're a Lakers fan.
Yeah.
Clippers fan, we won't even talk about it. We won't even talk. That's all.
You already brought it up.
And
because of that, our boys got into basketball.
Yeah, they got into basketball, which leads you into shoes real fast.
It was actually right. getting an Xbox, and then they got
2K, NBA 2K.
Yeah, which they started playing it, the video game.
And then
we started going to NBA games here.
But you start to see how all the businesses are so related, right? It's like, oh, gonna get you into this game, and then you're gonna wanna understand how to win the game because the game is so realistic. Mm. Actually watching basketball happen is gonna help you play the game better. Oh, yeah. I'm actually interested in this. What are these guys into? Oh, they're really into their shoes. And now I'm into shoes. So now Locke has, I had to install these like two shelves next to his bed where he's got, you know, all his shoes. And then we had an agreement. I was like, when you beat me in horse, I'll buy you a pair of shoes. And that finally happened like 2 months ago. So then I had to buy him a pair of shoes. So it's like.
Where'd you get them?
What did he end up? He went with us to.
He couldn't pick out a pair.
To Riff LA.
Oh, okay.
And he couldn't pick out a pair, but then.
He got stage fright.
Oh, you know what he did? He got, much to my disappointment, he got the Duke themed Kyries. And I'm an NC State grad, and my wife is a UNC grad, and he got the Duke themed Kyries.
Are they called the Flat Earthers?
No, but that'd be good.
It's got like a
like squished earths.
Yeah, no, you raise up the bottom and it's got like a map on the, it's got the earth on the bottom because it's flat.
As it actually is. That's good. Incidentally, I tweet at Kyrie a lot. Whenever I see like a NASA video that shows the roundness of the earth, I just at him just to remind him that it is round.
And what does he say back?
He doesn't say anything back.
Oh, he doesn't.
No, Kyrie has not responded.
Well, he's busy.
He's got some awesome shoes though.
That's got some great handles too.
That's what we play ball every Wednesday, and that's what I run in the Kyrie 3s.
Yeah. Yeah, there's three pairs at our house. My 8-year-old has a pair that he plays in his basketball league. Then Locke has two pair.
But how did it go from you wanted to formulate your own cleaner just for yourself, or was it immediately a business idea?
Well, I've always been sort of like business minded. I've always wanted to be my own boss. I've written like business plans that never really panned out. And I was cleaning my sneakers one night and I was using my homemade concoction or whatever. And it was like, I told you, it was like a mix of OxyClean, dishwashing soap and warm water and like a toothbrush. And I was cleaning my shoes and I was like that was sort of like the first aha moment. Like there's gotta be, like I'm using household cleaners to like clean my shoes. There's gotta be a better way. So I didn't know if like I wasn't aware of something existing specialized for the sneaker market.
Or if you were onto something.
Right, yeah, so I jumped around the internet, didn't really see anything that was like special. I'd go to like sneaker lineups and to my local sneaker shop. At the time I was living in Harbor City, so proper in Long Beach was like my spot. And I'd go down there and just ask people like, what do you use to clean your sneakers? And everybody had a recommendation. It wasn't like, oh, go use XYZ product. It was like, take a white tip eraser, do the, use a Tide pen. Oh, you know, if you do this and you mix that with this. And that's when I was sort of like, okay, there's something here now. And so that was sort of the real aha moment.
So what was the next step? Come up with a name or come up with formula?
The formula.
Oh.
Yeah. So I'm not a chemist. You know, once I knew I had like the opportunity and idea there of what I wanted to create, I started Googling chemist. Like
really?
Yeah.
Chemist in my neighborhood, like you wanted to show up at his carport.
You yelped to chemist?
It
was 10 years ago.
No, it was like chemist Los Angeles. And then, the language was like contract manufacturing. I was like, okay, contract chemist. And so like I would just, that's where I had met like my main chemist. But I went through two chemists before landing on him and being like, okay, he gets it, you know?
Well, how hard is it to get? Make something really good to clean shoes.
So that's the thing is like so the first guy that I had called said, yeah, come down or whatever. And I was trying to explain to him exactly what I wanted to do, my vision. Like, the first priority for me was making it safe so people don't even have to think twice. Like, oh, I got to clean my sneakers. I'm just going to go grab that product and use it.
I might eat my sneaker later.
Yeah. So. Yeah, it was just, that was the first thing. And the guy was like, yeah, shoe cleaner, I can make you shoe cleaner all day. Like, you could do your logo here. It was just, he wasn't really trying to hear me out, you know?
I got you.
And then the same with the second guy. And then the third guy who I ended up going with, I remember I called him, I was working my full-time job, I was working in advertising, and I called him on my lunch break, and we talked for like an hour and a half. And I was just talking about the vision and what I wanted to do and how important it was that it didn't, damage suede or that it didn't turn the shoe yellow. And I was trying to explain to him there's so many different grades of suede and there's patent leather. And he's like, what's patent leather? And so like,
oh, red flag.
Yeah. So it was just, I after speaking to him for like an hour and a half, I set up a meeting, and I remember I brought in like 5 or 6 different pairs of shoes. And we sat in his office, and I was just like educating him on like materials, which was a trip. And the next step was I went out and bought like every shoe care product that I can find that was on the market that I didn't even use. It was just like here you go, here's what's on the market, and here's like my vision and direction, and this is what I want to create. And it was just off to the races from there.
And then how long did it take to develop the secret formula?
It took about, I want to say less than 6 months. It was a lot of testing. Like he'd give me like three or four different samples to take home, and then I'd go test them, and then I'd write my notes and feedback like, oh, you know, I wanted it to foam more,
right.
It doesn't clean that well on, you know, rubber or vulcanized soles or different types of things, and I'd write it back and I'd give him the feedback, and then like another 2-3 weeks later, he'd be like, oh, I got some more samples from you, come pick them up.
And then once you had what you had decided was the, you know, the final formula, like what was the transition from quitting your day job to kind of chasing this dream?
Once I had the formula, that's when the fun stuff, like it was the formula, and then it was like picking the color and picking the smell, and then like.
And then what was it called?
It's called Jason Mark. It's my first and middle name, but it. So that was all like, the like, I'm pretty creative minded, so like that was where I like fit. Like I was like, oh, okay, now I could, I could call it this, and
you
I had some really
advertising mind.
Yeah, just like it was just I felt, you know, that was like my zone, you know. So like the brand.
There's very few things that are as satisfying as. Like if you've got an advertising mind, taking that and applying it to something that you're trying to sell, like it, as opposed to like taking all the energy and trying to sell somebody else's product that you may not believe in.
Right.
There's something different about that.
I think, I know that, yeah, exactly. Just that it was mine, you know, like I really took the time to like really think it through, and I had some cheesy names. And
like what you remember?
I think the one
Jason,
that,
no more marks.
That's good. No more marks. Yeah.
I think the one that was like the front winner, which I think back now is really cheesy, but I was gonna call it Sneak Peek Shoe Cleaner, like sneaker, like sneak and like peak, like a mountain, like keep them in peak condition.
Sneak peek.
It's not that bad.
I mean, yeah, I remember.
You could have like a creepy dude looking over a fence.
Using the name though, it almost makes it, it makes it seem like a premium product in some way, right? It doesn't seem like a gimmick product.
No, it doesn't. And I remember the exact like morning where it kind of like dawned on me, like, oh, use your name was, I was brushing my teeth and I go to open the medicine
with
cabinet.
With it? With the product?
No, not with the product. I've actually tasted the product.
You have any? I'd love to taste it right now.
It's not very good tasting. Well, I would not recommend it.
Probably tastes great compared to some of the stuff we've been fed around here.
That's true.
Oh, yeah. I opened the medicine cabinet and I had a Paul Smith bottle of lotion or face cream or something. Uh-huh. And I was like, oh, Paul Smith. That's the designer's name. You know, like that's pretty like timeless, I guess. Like it's not trendy.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, I'm going to call it. My middle name is Mark, but it's spelled with 1K. And the reason I added the extra K was I wanted it to be kind of easy to search. Like, I don't know how many Jason Mark with 1K there are in the world, but with 2Ks, probably not that many.
Yeah, it's important, man.
Yeah.
It's important, that keyword thing. SEO.
Got to keep Googling.
Got to get that SEO going.
So you had that, and you're working on all of your marketing mojo. Mm-hmm. But then you've got you've got like a nest egg that you're investing into manufacturing or something.
No, I like to raise money. I launched the company in 2007, and the development and all that was like 2006. And I remember I put together like this PowerPoint deck, and I invited my family over. I was living with my parents, but I invited
the living room.
Yeah,
you guys come over.
I had my favorite auntie and like my sisters and their husbands, and we had dinner. I cooked dinner for them.
Oh yeah,
they knew something was up. You know, it was just weird.
Why are you getting us drunk?
and then I remember like busting out my laptop and like. Walking them through my presentation, and I raised $15,000. Like my sister would give me like five, my parents gave me like whatever. I remember it amounted to like under 20, and that's what I had to work with.
That's
to, like,
awesome.
For like website and like production run, like the first production run.
Well, if you believe in something that you're doing, and you can convince the people that love you and have the means to support it.
I believed in it for sure. And I just figured,
what are they gonna do? Defamily you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's called disown.
No more PowerPoints. Yeah, they're going to ban you from PowerPoints in the living room. Yeah, it didn't happen.
No, it didn't happen. They supported me, and they still do very much support. Yeah.
So you made your first batch.
Right.
Or you had it made.
I had it made.
And then, what's the strategy? How does this thing get from?
Yeah, so I think the first production run, the minimum was like 2,500 units or something like that, if I remember correctly. And back when I launched, it was packaged in this like mini sneaker box. And I remember I had a filling pizza party like at my sister's house.
Uh-huh.
And I got pictures somewhere, but it was just like, you know, three or four 6 foot tables. And it was literally like us filling bottles by hand. We had those, you know, those Gatorade, like, you know, those orange Gatorade, like that soccer games.
Yeah, like a cooler.
Yeah, we go to Home Depot and I remember I got two of those and I got like a piece of rubber hose that would like go onto the spigot. Mm-hmm. And it would just prevent like foam. So you just put the hose in the bottle and you'd like fill each one.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had like a filling party. We had like an assembly line of people making like mini sneaker boxes. I ordered pizza and it was fun. It was fun. You know, it took back in the day, it used to take me like a 2,500 unit run would last me like a whole year.
sell it out of the sneaker shops.
No, so basically what I did before I even quit my job, I think going back to that question, was I had the product, but I didn't launch it officially. And I felt like I might need to have some sales skills. So like my younger brother at the time, he was selling kitchen cutlery. You know, like one of those when you go to like campuses and people hand you like those flyers and it's like, yo, like mm-hmm. need a job,
door to door knife sales.
Yeah, like literally Cutco.
Yeah,
yeah. Shout out Cutco.
Yeah, we've had a couple of Cutco situations.
I still use Cutco because that guy Joey came to my house, man.
Joey came to my house,
selling
man.
Me Cutco.
I
thought he was
going to
cut me. His tactic.
I've had him for 16 years. I had him sharpened last year.
Yeah, well, Joey would break out the knife and like he would threaten you with it. That's how I bought the whole freaking set.
He had that thing, that clincher moment in the presentation where he would cut a penny with those scissors.
To get you.
Where he would hit the couch.
I'm gonna get the scissors! How am I gonna cut my pennies if I don't get the scissors?
Yeah. Gotta cut those pennies. Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah.
So I basically quit my advertising job and then I...
But you got your brother was a knife salesman.
He was a salesman and he had his own like office in Torrance. Like he had his own, he was running his own thing.
Selling lots of knives.
He had people selling for him.
Yeah. And I saw his sales manual one day and I was just like flipping through it. And it was like the ABCs of selling, like how to handle objections and all that. And I was like, this is really good stuff. You know, like
it helps when you have a sharp knife. That's step one.
Yeah.
With the handling objections.
Yeah. So, I was like, yo, like, I want to learn how to sell. So he hired me. It was funny. I had to go through this whole interview process. And like, he hired me for a summer and sold.
Oh, you didn't hire your brother.
No, he hired me.
You asked him to hire you so you could learn.
And he had me, it wasn't just like you got the job. It was like, I remember sitting in the, it was like this bungalow. There was like three people ahead of me and they were all like there for interviews. And it was like, my brother, dude, like just hire me. Like, what do you, but I had
can
to go.
Cut a penny, man.
So you sold knives to learn how to sell.
Yeah. Yeah. But I just never, maybe I did use some of the knowledge that I picked up, but so I sold knives for a summer. I almost sold like $30,000 worth of knives. And I was like, at that point, I was like, okay, I'm done. Like, I'm good. Like,
yeah,
I'm pretty good. Like, I don't need to like, so I quit. It was only like, I was only there for like three, four months.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had the product. And then before I quit my job at the advertising agency, I like hit up all my homies that were like in the creative departments. Like the designers, and I was just like, yo, I'm gonna quit in like 2 weeks. Would you help me like design logos and stuff? And they're like, yeah. So like, I just kind of like built a team there before I left. And then, I had the logo, I had the name, I had the packaging. They, and actually the guy that uh, is that is my main creative director today is the guy who designed my logo 10 years ago.
Oh, wow.
You got him. He came
yeah,
with
so he's
eventually.
Been on the whole, he's seen the whole thing from, he designed the logo and he's designed like every piece of packaging that we've done in the last 10 years.
And,
he's,
and at this point, it's moved well beyond the selling the individual packs, right?
Well, I didn't even launch yet. But what I did was I knew how to create a press kit, like from like advertising or whatnot. And mm-hmm. well, my best friend was like a graphic designer, and I remember.
So basically, which is a swag box that you send to people yeah. who can like talk about how great it is.
Yeah,
Who write articles and stuff for.
Yeah, and you had to like have, pretty good quality pictures, all that stuff. So I remember we shot the pictures in his garage and had like IKEA lights and. I gotta find the originals, but they were so photoshopped because like the lighting was bad and yeah. the shadows and but it worked. So I put all this stuff into like a press packet, and I just remember this was 2007. I remember hitting up like all the blogs. It was like Hypebeast, it was Slam Hype, Mr. Kim Says, it was like the Jeff Staples of the world, and those mm-hmm. guys that had blogs, and I just would hit them up. Like
those are sneaker heads. Those are
streetwear okay. blogs, and I would just like email the info line and like, hey, my name is Jason. I'm starting this company. I have this product. Like, can I send you out a kit? And so a lot of them were like, yeah. And back when it was like easy, it was like, yeah. And before they even got it, it was like, oh, we'll post it. I sent them the email, the thing, and then we'll post it on this date at this time. And I'm like, holy shit, like this is super cool. And they did. Like they really just so. When it launched, I was prepared to go door to door. Like if I had to go door to door. And when it launched, it got on all the blogs, and I got tons of emails like from around the world. Mm-hmm. Like instantly, it was like global. And I didn't even have a website. I had a splash page with like you had a logo, and you click it, and it would open like an email info@jasonmark.com, and you would just like type. So like I remember it launched, and like,
so you couldn't take people's money.
Mm-mm. And I didn't have
just emails,
and it was funny.
Those are
just
fun.
Just emails, and I would be processing these orders like via email, like how many kits did you want, and that's gonna be $25. And then I was like I was the customer service guy, I was the shipping guy, I was everything,
and their pen pal potentially.
And their pen pal. And yeah, so it was crazy. It was like, you know, I was in the South Bay, Southern California, and I thought, you know, I'm gonna launch it here, and I'll probably have to drive up to San Francisco. Just thinking about like accessible cities, maybe San Diego, and just if I had to go hustle. And I never, thank God, never really had to go like door to door. It was just stores from around the world saying, "I want to carry your product."
Right.
And there was no product out there yet.
Yeah.
It was just based off of, I guess, the branding, packaging, and, you know, the press kit, I guess, and all the press that it got.
At what point, at some point you expanded to where there was actual cleaning service, right? I mean, yeah, when did that come along?
That was about 3 years ago. So
yeah,
the company.
Yeah, how did that?
Okay, six or seven years.
7 years. 7 years, and I wanted to open a store, like a physical store. Because we had a pretty good loyal following on social media, and people would like follow us and like do all that. But I just felt like it was this. I remember how the store came up, because I was doing a trade show in Vegas. It was like Agenda, or might have been Magic, or one of the ones. And I remember we had a great show. And I remember sitting there, and I was sitting there with my marketing guy.
Now, like for the trade show, are you like, you got one of those microphones, and you're like, "All right, step right up, hand me your shoes. I can make any shoes clean." See?
No, it was because that's not very cool.
That's not cool. That's no. I don't think that would
you're
work.
You're not gonna get the right clientele doing
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
that's
got
for old ladies.
They gave us like a free booth.
Old ladies got money. Old money's worth just as much
old
as new money.
Old ladies got old dirty shoes.
Different type of trade show.
Yeah, different all type. Right. We had a booth, and it was just such a great reception. And I was just like, what do we do now? And for some reason, it was like, let's open a store. Like that's the next. I think that's the next thing to do is open a store.
And had you expanded the product offerings beyond that initial kit, or
not really? I mean, I remember for like the first 5 or 6, 7 years, we literally had like 5 SKUs, we had the towel, we had 2 brushes. We had the cleaner, and I think we did like a handful of collabs at that point, mm-hmm. with like really like cool sneaker shops. Like Undefeated was the first one that we did, and then we did Nort, that was in a New York-based sneaker boutique, and then we did Staple Design. And it was just like collabs were, and we still do several collabs now.
So like, give me an example, like what kind of product is a
It was just collab? Like, I remember it, like the first Undefeated one, we basically just took the kit. It was an 8-ounce bottle and a brush in a little mini sneaker box, and they just flipped everything
right,
about
okay.
it. So like the packaging and the pattern and the color of the bottle and the scent and the labels, and we just did like a limited run of like 1,000 pieces. Mm. And then from there, that kind of just like, we're off and running.
Right. It in and of itself became a collector's item.
Yeah.
When you would
limited edition cool. stuff. And this was 2007.
But then when you want to make a store, say that's the next step. It was not just to sell the product, but also
to be an
epicenter for a service?
No, the concept for the store was simply to create a space where people can come and experience the Jason Mark brand like past the computer. You know, it's just like, what are these guys into? What are they listening to? Like sights, smells, like let's talk sneakers and just, it was really, really a place to buy product. And then like, as I was designing the space out, we had this, we call it the JM Throne. It's like this old school shoe shine chair. And we had one of them, and we got it made in Atlanta. And like, it was like being sent to different stores. We did a pop-up shop at Reed Space where we had the chair, and people would come and get free, we call them quick cleans. Mm-hmm. And then like, it was just gaining, I guess, popularity. We would, they saw it at Reed Space and they wanted it at wherever, so this chair would just travel. And the experience that people would get was just like, I don't know if you've ever got your shoes cleaned before, but it is sort of like it definitely is an experience. It just feels like, comforting.
Yeah, I don't think, I've never
had a
shoe shine.
Shoe shine or shoe clean, but I was told that it's like it's kind of like a massage.
It is very therapeutic.
Like a spa.
Right.
Yeah,
therapy.
Especially when you don't have a shoe on.
It's no.
Even more like
well,
a massage.
That is a massage.
Oh, that's just a foot massage.
That's just a foot massage.
With shoe polish.
Yeah, it's like,
that's something different.
That's a weird fetish.
I probably shouldn't have brought it up.
Just a foot massage.
Right, okay, but this is something that you offered.
Yeah, so we were just doing these chair, like the chair tour, I guess. And then as we were designing the store, I'm like, okay, well, I want the chair. It's become sort of, it goes hand in hand with the Jason Mark brand. I want the chair in the front of the store. And then I was like, oh, well, why don't we just do a service? And I really underestimated it at that point. I didn't think I had this big, like, oh, this is like the next thing. Like,
yeah, it was just a cool idea. It was just the next step in an evolution of what you were doing with it.
Right.
Makes sense, though, because
in retrospect,
you've got people who like the idea of cleaning their shoes, and then you like people, then there's a much wider circle, which is people who just like to have clean shoes. But like, you know what I'm saying? But like, am I gonna actually, especially like, you would probably like be like, okay, I'm gonna take this afternoon and I'm gonna clean these shoes and that's gonna be fun. And I would be like, can I get somebody to do this? So that it just totally makes sense to me that if you care about that, and especially if you know that you're not doing a good job, and there's somebody who's a professional, that's
the
right product.
But you had the chair in the store, and it was still just like part of the experience of being there. It wasn't a service yet.
No, it was just sort of meant to be like the Instagram moment. Like, I'm at the Jason Mark store, let me go sit in the JM Throne and like get my snap on, my IG on. And and that's what it was, the chair was there for. And then I started thinking, I was like, why don't we just do like some type of drop off cleaning service? And I totally, again, just really underestimated the whole thing. And it's kind of grown into this thing where it's just like, I never would have thought, I just didn't even expect that like it would be what it is.
Because at this point you've got like celebrity clients who like, you're their guy.
Yeah, yeah. We've had a fair amount of celebrities come in, a lot of basketball players. We've had DeAndre Jordan come in with Jordan Clarkson. We've had Swaggy P come in, PJ Tucker, who's a big sneakerhead. We've had like hip hop artists, we've had Kelly Rowland come in like 2 days in a row.
Really?
Yeah, that was
Had he come back from
Different shoes, though.
Different shoes.
Not the same. Hey, I'm back. I had a rough night. So, I'm back.
But the typical experience, if I were to go in there, I would drop them off and then come back and pick them up like a dry cleaner?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. It's just as simple as that. It's just...
So you got to take another pair of shoes to wear out, Link. Just planning ahead for you.
Well, I would probably maybe carry them in a bag into you and not have to like change my shoes in there.
Yeah.
Most people do that.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's a better strategy.
Yeah, I'm just a strategic thinker.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's to put it simply, like that's how I explain it to people. Like it's dry cleaning for sneakers.
Are the people in the back who are cleaning, are they doing something different than I could do at home with your product? Is it a special thing or is it the same thing?
And it's the same product, but what it is like they've come up with different techniques and methods on how
technique.
To treat. It's like, it's serious. It's like a real thing. Like
I believe it.
We encourage people to like buy the product. Obviously like go buy the product, do it at home. But a lot of times people have that really special pair whether it has a big, you know, monetary value to it or a sentimental value. And they're just like, I don't want to mess it up. I'd rather have you guys do it. And so we get that a lot.
So I imagine that most people are bringing in their prized possession shoes. It's not like normal people just like, oh, I got these like nasty kids.
No, we get it all. That's the thing. And
nasty
I think
nasty kids.
I think the part of the reason why
Velcro.
We get it all. We get like just like your basic whatever sneaker, and then we even get like the designer. Like Balenciagas, we get Saint Laurent, we get all the crazy, like, plus really rare sneakers as well. And then we get everything. We get the whole, and I think a lot of it has to do with where we're located. We're located in downtown, but in Little Tokyo.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So that was important to me, was like, well, I'm gonna pick a place that like a lot of people can kind of just, a lot of foot traffic. So it's accessible. It's accessible.
I mean, not just physically, but like, financially, you can like go in and you can say, these are my kids. I'm gonna get the normal cleaning here.
Right, and that was important to me, was like, I wanted to design a menu that was like a services that was like $10. That's the basic like classic clean, which we call it, to like $65 and up, just depending on like what it is, you know?
It's like a detail.
Yeah, so it's like a car wash, almost like different packages.
Something I learned in just in going into Riff, because you're
right across the street.
Going down there with Locke and seeing like this special case with the, I think they had a $17,000 pair in there.
What?
At one point. It was those green.
Undefeated Fours.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and that was, no, it wasn't the Undefeated Fours, it was the M&M Fours.
Yeah.
And it was like a size 14. It was apparently, don't quote me on this, but apparently the only one in the world. I don't know. It was like really rare. But yeah, we get stuff like that.
Yeah. And so at that point, it seems like it's like painting restoration, you know? Like you've got the lady who took that old picture of Jesus and made him look like an owl. Remember that from a couple of years ago? you remember that? She like, because that's like, I knew a guy who.
I know you just didn't owlify Jesus.
Worked at a museum.
Yeah,
and specializes in painting like restoration and preservation. And of course, you know, they come in there and there's $1 million painting, and it's like you have to use the right chemicals and everything. It's a slightly less expensive version of that, but you are dealing with people's like babies.
We are, and that's the sort of nerve-wracking thing, like especially during the first year, because it was like, I underestimated the whole thing, but we just, you know, I didn't realize how fulfilling it would be. I thought it was it was a service that people may or may not use. It goes hand in hand with the brand. We offer a cleaning product, and we'll clean shoes, and you know, we'll use our product, and it's an icebreaker to like, oh, have you used our, you know, it's just a thing. And
But it became fulfilling when someone hands you their baby,
right?
And then it comes
seeing
back.
Seeing the reaction was the craziest. Craziest thing.
But then there's also like, you got people in tears like, you gave me my Jordans back and they look beautiful.
We had one customer who actually was brought to tears, like, and it was It was, I love it. It was a pair of 85 Air Jordan 1s, OG, and I guess they were in a, they were her dad's, and it was like in a, she found them in a shack or like backyard shack, and they were like beat up, super beat up. And it was Father's Day was coming up, and she asked us to bring them back. And I remember this was like maybe 6 months of being open or something. So I had told, it wasn't even, it's not even about like churning out shoes. Like I told my staff, like, just make sure the customer is happy. That's it. I don't care. Like, we're supposed to be spending a certain amount of time on a certain service. You know, that's a business. Like, you're making a certain margin and all that. I just threw that all out the window, like, especially for the first year. Like, I just want you to focus on doing a great job. I don't care if you take 2 hours to clean the pair of shoes. Like, I don't care. And they did. And they brought these Jordans back, and she had come to pick them up, and she was literally like brought to tears. And I had just happened to be there, like,
oh man,
like behind the we have this cubby system where the shoes, and I just happened to be kind of like watching, like from the, I was like, holy shit.
And you're like, this is all worth it.
Can you imagine how much the dad bawled? Yep. I bet he was in tears too.
Probably. And like my guys, they're just like, yeah, you should go buy this acrylic case, and like giving her tips on like how to present it to him.
Uh-huh. Are there people who bring in, maybe it's a kid, or maybe it's a high dollar shoe.
You stuck
like,
on kids, man.
I just.
Do you have a pair of kids?
I love kids. I stepped in something bad, and I stepped all the way in it. Like
stepped in some dookie?
Yeah. We've just like.
Dookie steps.
How bad does it get?
That's at least $12.
The worst pair of shoes we've ever gotten were a pair of Bapes, and they were covered in blood.
What?
Soaked in blood.
Like real blood?
Yeah, real blood. And.
Blood from a what?
He had a 4th of July accident, and he like almost blew off his hand.
Oh.
And he was a friend. What? He was a friend.
Like firework mishap?
Yeah, yeah. And I saw that. I met the guy. So he was a friend of my main guy that was kind of like running, we call him the sneaker care technicians, is something that we came up with, or for short, SCT. And he was like my lead SCT, and he was like, oh, I got this homie. And he's got these pair of Babes, and they're bloody, and like I want to bring them in, and I want to do before and after. And I'm like, what is it evidence? Like,
before, very bloody.
No, he's like, no,
is
no,
it
no, no.
evidence?
He was like,
that's
no,
a
no.
good question.
Yeah, it's like, you know, so he's like, no, my friend, he had an accident. I'll intro you and stuff. So I remember he came to the shop, and I met the dude, and his hand was still kind of swollen. Like it had healed okay, but it was like you could tell something like
had
blown up in there.
Yeah, yeah. So
light it, throw it,
mm-hmm.
or set it down, then light it, then run away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, don't
or
hold it.
Don't purchase at all, or light or throw.
You're talking about fireworks.
I'm talking about fireworks now, right? But who am I? Who am I to say? I've done a lot of stupid stuff in my life. So did you go for it? Did you say yes?
Yeah. I was like, okay, well, as long as they're not like, you know, again, like evidence or some crazy that we shouldn't be mixed up in. okay. Yeah. I met the dude. I was like, all right. And I was like, just make sure you wear like protective, you know, gloves.
Yeah, wear some gloves.
Make sure you're like all covered up. And
hazmat.
And they did. And it was just like, they brought the pair back. I looked brand new. Honestly. Yeah. And it, luckily it was like, I don't think the shoe had any suede on it or anything absorbent.
Right, so
it was, but the sock liner and everything had, it wasn't just like on the outside of the shoe. It was like,
what did he do? Clean himself up with his shoes?
Desperate times.
Yeah. I'm going to stick my hand in my shoe like it's a glove. And now I'm going to do it with the other one. I don't know. And what about stanky shoes? Like how often is it like, this is an awesome pair of shoes, but the real problem is the stank foot.
Yeah, we get a lot of those.
And do you have like a powder? Are you?
Yeah, we do a combination of things. Like if it's really bad.
Asking for a friend.
Okay. If it's really bad, like we've even stuck them in the freezer overnight to kind of kill all the bacteria. Yeah. And we currently use, it's like this antibacterial, like it's this brand called Rita, and they're out of Japan. And it's this kind of really like elevated fragrance company that makes a shoe spray. So that's what we use.
So if you got the stanky kids, You can put them in the freezer.
You can.
And it will, that yeah. makes total sense.
Yeah, it's probably not, I mean, that's what we used to do like in our first year. Now it's just like really giving it a thorough clean, like really taking out the insole and really giving the whole inside and, you know, giving it a good spray.
If I may.
Uh-oh.
I'm wondering, this is my shoe. Mm. I just took it off my right foot. I would like for you to just, I'll give it a left one too. I mean, just assess. What does this say about me that I'm wearing these shoes? And based on, you know, profile me and profile. Then profile the shoe. Tell me everything you know about me and the shoe based on this.
I mean, it's a dope shoe. I mean, it's a, what are these, the, are these the bow? I don't even know exactly what.
He knows though.
Bonos. I know they're a trainer. They're in pretty relatively good shape.
Pretty relatively
good shape.
Yeah. That means not great, Link.
I don't know too much about him. All I know is I watched that documentary, Sneakerheads.
Yeah.
And in the middle of it, I said, I turned to my family because we were all watching. I was like, and these people are obsessing about their sneakers. This is kind of inspiring. I never got too into sneakers, but I remember I had one pair that I was like, the Bo Jackson Bo Nose shoes that I really wanted, and my dad got them for me for my birthday.
You wore those things everywhere.
And I remember when I got them, I remember opening the box, I remember taking them out. It was like the only pair of shoes that I obsessed about wanting. Mm-hmm. And I was like, and I am gonna do something I never do. I'm gonna make an impulse buy. I'm gonna go on the internet. I'm gonna find them and I'm gonna order some right now.
Because these are originals, right?
I don't even know. Was that a reissue?
That's definitely a reissue.
I did not. To me, it wasn't. I was tempted to be like, all right, I bet you can get the original. I bet they'll cost a lot of money. I bet they've reissued them if they have. This is for me. Mm. I'm not gonna like, obsess about what this would be to anybody else or if they're actually valuable. And I was like, I'm just gonna make an impulse buy and I'm gonna enjoy it. And so—
That's how it should be.
I assume that these aren't actually valuable to anybody except me reissue. But I think
like walking down the street and another sneaker dude would sort of recognize like the you know, those are the bows, just sort of like a head nod. Like, it's a classic shoe. I think for me, like, classic silhouettes, like I don't go, that's when you mentioned like, oh, I don't know how much these are worth or if there's much hype, but I always wear what I like. You know, I mean, if it's
gratuitous Velcro strap that's useless.
Like, it's gotta offer some support on the foot.
I read about them a little bit right after I ordered them and one of the reviews said, I wouldn't recommend wearing them for cross training now.
But this is the first cross trainer shoe. Yeah.
Had to start somewhere, Bo. Now, one thing I read about recently is the crisis of shoe decay. Right? I actually just saw an article about this like yesterday, which is like the whole sneakerhead thing is a relatively recent phenomenon. Like, it's this generation basically. But now a lot of these shoes that everybody loves, they're actually having to start thinking about the decay of shoes because we're getting to that point where a lot of these shoes that people love are like 40 years old or whatever, you know? Mm. Have you dealt with any of that? Is that—
Yeah, we get a lot of that coming into the store. And those are the ones that, like, if we see the midsole already kind of crumbling or the paint kind of coming off the midsole, that's something that we basically tell them, we just advise them of the risk. Like, we can do this. And we take before and after pictures and all that just to make sure like they don't come, it's like renting a car. Mm-hmm. It's not like if that dent wasn't there type thing. So we just make sure to cover us and make sure that like, and we'll just let them know like we could clean this, but there's a risk that that paint's just gonna come right off. And obviously we'll be very careful, but as long as you understand mm-hmm. the risk. So.
Right.
Yeah, and there's some shoes that we just won't even, if they've come in and the shoe is like literally crumbling, then we'll just be like, you know, we just don't even want to touch it.
You're on your own.
Yeah.
So what's next for you? I mean, you've got this knack for knowing where there's a need and then then creating things that are just hits. I mean, what's the next one? What are you doing?
For our 10-year anniversary, you know, we've got a whole new bunch, like a whole new line of product coming out. So we've been working really hard on that. I'm really excited about that. So in the next, you know, month or two, you start to see some of those drops happening.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely looking to expand the service and the retail. We only have the one right now in Little Tokyo, but I'm looking at New York. So,
and you got an event coming up in New York that I think won't be live before that, right? What don't you have? There's like some pop up thing that you're doing in New York.
Or
is this something you did do in New York?
We've had a number. We've had last year. We did two pop ups in New York.
Okay.
We always have something going on in New York, whether it's like a 1 day or 2 day thing at a retailer,
okay,
or something like that. But we had a couple pop-ups last year, and I'm looking for a space to have a permanent flagship.
Okay.
Well, I'll tell you, man, we really appreciate you coming in. It's been really inspiring to hear all that you've developed and all you've done, and you know, even if you're mm-hmm. not into sneakers. Like, I mean, I'm very much into Bo Jackson sneakers.
Yeah, you're into one particular pair of sneakers. It's
you
cool.
know, I think that there's lots to be inspired by. So congratulations on
Thank
on all
you.
The success.
Thank
and,
you.
And thanks for coming
yeah,
in.
Yeah, man. I really appreciate you guys yeah. having me.
We'll come down and sit on the throne just to
please,
feel like kings.
Please do. That would be dope if you brought those pair of Bos in and we did a before and after or something.
Ooh,
that'd be cool.
Let's
yeah.
do it.
Yeah.
There you have it, our ear biscuit with Mr. Jason Mark.
Were you inspired by his story? It was inspiring, right?
Yeah, I've got lots of ideas right now.
Do you?
Yeah. That the one thing I said about the shoe shine that with no shoe, that's a foot massage. I got a lot of ideas about that.
The shoeless shoe shine.
You draw people in.
Who wants a shiny foot, man?
No, it's about the massage,
well,
but it's for men who are self-conscious about getting foot massages but are going in for the shoe shine. And you get them in there, you shine the shoe, and then you say, hey, look at that cool bird.
Shoe shart's coming off.
You get them to look at something, and then you...
I said shoe shart. I meant to say shoe starts.
Yeah, shoe shart coming off. You get them to shart. Maybe that's what you do. And then you pull the shoe off and you start massaging. No, I'm not gonna do it. I'm not into that. I got strong hands, but I'm not really into touching people's feet.
I like birds.
Do like birds. And anyway, I'm just thinking.
I'm susceptible to birds being pointed out to me.
It was inspirational conversation to a guy who just said, I got an idea and now I'm going to, so many people just talk. They just wah, 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 like babies, just talking and never saying anything. I'm gonna do this, you wait, so I'm gonna. Jason Mark
make a
did
PowerPoint.
It. He did
invite
it.
Your aunt over. Make her dinner.
Quit talking about what you're going to do.
And start cleaning.
And do it, okay? Quit talking, make a PowerPoint.
Listen, they were already inspired.
I'm just saying.
You don't need to shame them.
People just talk, they just do a lot of talking.
Not you.
Somebody out there, you. You're a talker.
We believe in you.
Become a doer.
You're great at PowerPoint.
at least do the PowerPoint for the person who's gonna do something.
Let us know what you think. At hashtag ear biscuits.
Oh, you went with at hashtag ear biscuits. I don't even think that's a thing. But I know what you mean, I understand.
Oh, just do it, okay?
Yeah, you know how to do it.
I apologize for him, we'll speak at you next week.